Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan of salvation where you are our God and we are your people. By this we have assurance that over the course of our life and throughout all of eternity, we will belong to you and our eternal future is assured that we will live forever in that heavenly place. Thank you that our future is with you and not in that other place. May we be yours today and every day, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have noticed how we all want to be taken care of? So often our prayer has to do with the provision and protection that we would like. In life, we look for a situation where we can receive that provision and protection. It might be from our friends or our workplace or our church or our government. Right? Yes, did you get your government check this month, or your food stamps, or your Social Security, or your SSI? Did you get yours from the government this month? So we have to just wonder, what is the source of our security? Or what is the source of our money? Is it the government? Or is it each of us who worked for it and then put it away? And then the government pays it back later through their programs. Well, many, many people believe it that way. I do in a way too. I saved it, I earned it, I should get it back. But we do well to recognize God's guiding hand over all of it, and that none of it would be stable or safe without the goodness of God watching over all of these things. Nope, none of it would even exist without God's hand of protection over it. Societies and civilizations have, well, events happen. And people get to thinking that the greatness of a society or a kingdom or a government gets to be done by their own efforts. But no, nothing happens without the blessings of God. Nothing. And then there are circumstances that come about which causes the fall of an ungrateful people, government, authority, whatever it is. And then after the fall, we consider God, because that's what's left. The God of our Bible is of first importance in all matters. In everything about life, everything, God first through Jesus Christ. And consider also that as we pray and as we have our desires, God sees everything. We don't have any secrets from God, not anything. So you can talk to God about everything that is on your mind and heart, everything. And so, because God does see everything, I hope that you let your life reflect that fact and that you don't try to have secret areas where God doesn't look into. No, He sees everything. And So let us remember that we want God to be involved in our life, and he is and can be in every way. Just invite him in. It can be a change of thinking to think like that, but you know it's true. It's very real. God is a God of everything. He knows all things in your life and mine. And we are trained to have everything be about us. That is just typical. And haven't you heard it said so many times, well, what do you want? Yes, what do you want? That's a part of the training from the very early age that we were children. What kind of an ice cream do you want? Or what kind of a candy or a dessert or a dinner do you want? And yes, we like to have people have what they like, but really the world is not all about what you want. It's an important question to ask, what does God want? And along that same line, we can remember God's love, showing God's love to other people, like our neighbors. And that kindness, that loving kindness that God gives us, we can extend to others. Yes, your nearest neighbors, which are the people in our very own home, or in the next town, or across the ocean, in a way, they're all neighbors. And we just get to think of how we can be faithful to God throughout our life. And I think it is something we can ask now about, are our neighbors across the ocean? In a way, they are, because travel has increased so greatly. It's not so hard to go across the ocean and to know people or to talk with them on the phone. Write them letters. In the old days, that's what it was. But the world has gotten to be a smaller place. We can travel places and we can communicate so quickly, so far away. So who is our neighbor? Well, I will leave that one up to you to figure out, because I'm sure it's different for other people. Everybody has their own idea. But we can think about people in need wherever they are. If they are literally right next door to us, across the state, or across the world. Think about having some kind of a gift for another person. And that gift can include missionary work, because that is so very important, to speak to people about the gospel, the truth of the gospel, how good it is. I think we can also remember to pray for the leaders of other countries. They have things going on in those countries too, and we can pray for their knowing Jesus and godliness. See, that will make them a better neighbor, whether they're the leader of a country or the people in the next town or the next house. So, yes, let us remember to pray for all sorts of people. Pray for them. And we don't have to be fearful about, sometimes we do have to be fearful about people coming. Well, it's maybe not fearful, but it's concerned and prudent. But really what we want to have is compassion and concern about other people. That helps a lot, but it's not the only thing. But let's have compassion and concern for the people in other countries and their leaders. It's kind of hard when you think of the other international relations, though. So often we think, oh, Russia could attack us. They could have a cyber attack. China could send an army. North Korea could EMP, electromagnetic pulse us. Or if there was a conflict between India and Pakistan or India and China, it could escalate into a nuclear war. There's a lot of things going on in the world that could really interrupt our life and even create chaos in the world. So let us remember to pray for other people in the world, and that includes the leaders of other countries that we don't normally think about. Pray continually. And I just think it's wise also to prepare for the just in case something happens. Things can turn bad. We know that. It happens in our own neighborhoods, in our own states and countries. We see things where, well, we just wish they wouldn't happen. Sometimes it's violence. Sometimes it's anything like that. And this is something I think it's only wise to prepare for. If there was a war, if there was martial law, if there was lockdowns for medical health reasons, all these things can happen anywhere, anytime. And so I think of the preparedness part of life. I was just thinking of Hong Kong. You know, over in Hong Kong, they had so many months of peace, relatively peaceful demonstrations, demonstrating against China's takeover of Hong Kong. But China is now saying, no more. Hong Kong, you're not going to demonstrate against us. And the police that represent the China's interest have just arrested an outspoken newspaper editor. He happens to be a millionaire, and he loudly proclaims that he wants freedom and democracy for Hong Kong. And then, he's been saying that for months, but then just a few days ago, China, that is the policemen who are carrying out China's interest, they arrested him. And so that could very well be the start to changing the movement in Hong Kong for freedom and democracy. And it's just an example of how things can change and happen in our world. Even in our neighborhood, we are seeing things. Oh, maybe not right here in our neighborhood, but there's so many things in our country that are going on that are violent or demonstrations or all of that. So things do happen. And I think for all of this, it is only reasonable to have some preparedness concerns. America is a wonderful place to live, especially comparing it to the rest of the world. And we do have our Christian heritage here in America. We do have the tradition of liberty being so very cherished. And right now, you just might see it changing before your very eyes. Things are getting restricted. There are getting to be social restrictions that are only expanding. Restrictions and concerns, and lots of people are wondering what could happen to our country. And here is one example of how things change and evolve. This is going back in history, but I think of it because in 1730, well, it was about then, near Boston, and I, on purpose, do not remember the name of the two churches that were involved, but a man came from a nearby town, and he was preaching on a busy street corner. He was preaching right out of the Bible. And what he was doing in so many words was telling the passerbyers that they were sinners for not following one part of the Bible that he was preaching out of. So there were these two different towns had two different denominations, and they had a different, and they emphasized a different part of the Bible to the congregations. So anyway, this man was preaching on the sidewalk to that other Christian denomination, and a complaint was made to the constable, and the constable arrested that man, and the judge very quickly fined him and sentenced him to be locked in stocks for 3 days in the town square, right in the middle of everybody. So that street preacher and his church, after paying the fine and being in stocks for 3 days, appealed his case to a higher court. And the higher court said that he had the right of free speech. And this case is a part of why today we have free speech. And in this case, it was over the right to preach the gospel, or maybe a less popular view of a certain passage of the gospel, to in the town square, basically. So this is a part of our tradition. In our tradition, we have conflict and resolution, and that has become our tradition of having rights, and our rights of the Bill of Rights. So that is one way that it came about. Now, I can't help but think, when I talk about something like this, about what a contrast it is in the rest of the world, where free speech is so limited. And if you were preaching the Bible in another country, you could very well be arrested and not and be sentenced not to 3 days, but 3 years in a prison. Well, it's just different in different parts of the world, in different countries. And I thank God that I was born here in America. Thank you, Lord. The world outside of the United States of America is not very tolerant toward other religions. And often, Christian beliefs are also hated. But depending on the country, other beliefs are also hated. Often enough, the Jewish belief is also hated. Sometimes the Hindu, sometimes the Muslim beliefs are also hated. And sometimes people are even beaten for their beliefs. Sometimes even killed for their beliefs. It's different in other countries because on many countries, they have a national identity card, and their religion is listed, so they can't even hide the religion. They have to show their identity card, and on that card is their religion. Well, things are different in other countries. Boy, aren't they. Just look around at the world today. And you do know that in North Korea, its leader, Kim Jong-un, just days ago ordered that pet dogs in their capital city would be confiscated. So owning a dog there just became illegal, just because he said so. He said that having a pet dog represented Western decadence, and so he made it illegal. That's what their cult leader, I know, I called him a cult, I meant their great leader, that's what they call him, their great leader commanded that, and the people obeyed. Of course, they did it because they obeyed because they were under threat of arrest and violence to them. But anyway, that's what goes on in some countries. There's plenty of North Koreans who believe that that order was done because there was a food shortage in North Korea. And so it was assumed that all of their confiscated dogs would become someone else's dinner. And in that country, nobody could even hide that there were, that they owned a dog if they wanted to. See, the state police have records of everything, from dog license records to the purchase of dog food. Everything just is known and recorded. And that just reminds me of some of the people in this country who, when they hear about, let's say the NSA, the National Security Agency, recording every single phone call that is made in this country, they respond to that by saying, well, I have nothing to hide. They can listen to what I say. I've heard so many people say that. Sure, let the government look into my records all they want. I have nothing to hide. That's what I have heard many people say if there is a discussion about the NSA recording all the phone calls. Oh, I know it's pretty stupid to compare the USA with North Korea. Yes, it is stupid, but at one day it might not be, because we don't know the future. We don't know what will happen if our nation, our people, remove God from our life and our society. What could happen? Oh boy, we just can hardly think about how it could become if we removed God from our nation, our lives. Yeah. In my life, I have seen other countries. I've been to other countries, including ones that have tried to erase Christianity and the God of the Bible from their country. And it's not so good in those countries. And today I look at what's going on with people who want to remove God from our country. And I think, what is going to happen? We do have historical examples of what happens when countries or leaders do remove God from their nation, from their society. And it leads to destruction and poverty and a lack of freedom. Well, that's what I read in the history books. That's the strong tendency. I remember 25 years ago, I talked to, it just happened that over the course of about a year and a half, I just kept running into people who came from a part of Europe where they experienced the Nazi rules. And their country was, for instance, taken over by Nazi Germany. Well, they had impressions, and they talked with me because I listened and I talked. So I had people tell me about their experience in other countries from various parts of Europe, and that included Nazi Germany. Well, they were saying, if I could just kind of average it out, what they were saying is that they experienced the rules of Nazi Germany and the attitudes, and they relocated to the United States because of its great freedom. But now they were here in the United States, had been for decades, and they can see that something is going on in this country which reminded them of what went on just before the Nazis took over there, or what controlled their country, whichever country it was. The conditions, they notice, are becoming similar. Now, that was a lot of years ago, and from their point of view that they expressed to me, it is only continuing along that same line. Does that mean it will happen? Oh, no, it does not. But it means that it could. And it just lots of things are continuing in our country from 25 years ago. What are the trends? It's not that I study these things. It's just that I run into people and they tell me and I listen and I remember. So I wish I could ask them questions now, but they were all older people, and I'm sure that they have all passed into the next life at this point. So I can't ask them questions, but I can remember what they talked about and saying, that's interesting. Huh, I guess I should look into that too, because they were obviously smart enough to see trends. Well, it just reminds me of, hey, maybe you've heard this saying, it goes too soon old, too late wise. And that's something I think we all can identify with, because we all get old sooner than we think, and we all learn things later than we wish we had. It's just kind of a true saying, Scandinavian in origin. Well, today, how can we not look at what's going on in the big cities? We have disturbances. And, well, I'll just put this one in there too. Under Germany's Hitler, there was a minister of the interior by the name of Hermann Göring. And one of his orders, one of his very first orders, was to defund the police. And so how can you not think of today? Well, the defunded police in Hitler's Germany weakened the police. And that was needed to allow the Nazi brown shirts to run all around Germany and riot and burn and destroy. I know, it makes you think of today, doesn't it? Well, it's kind of the same theme, but the color has changed. In Germany, it was the brown shirts. Today, there are so many people who are wearing black. Well, it helps to be aware, and that's about all we can do. Be aware, and I think be prepared. Now, there's a lot of talk about revolution from those people who are demonstrating. Every revolution is painful. Revolution is disruptive to society. Oh, it's so difficult. It's not good. Looking back at my schooling, like in high school, I had a teacher that taught social studies. He was a strong communist. And in my university, I had another instructor. He happened to be a Catholic priest, but he was a teacher who specialized in teaching South American history, and that included Cuba. He also had some really strong socialist communist leanings. Oh, yes, he did. He could have even been considered a revolutionary because he was so sympathetic to the communist revolutions. And looking back, I'm glad today that I was exposed to those communist philosophy people. The college teacher, he had newspapers and magazines that he would, communist ones, that were meant to talk about all the great things that communism was doing in various countries. And they were easily made available to anybody who wanted to read them in class. Or he would let some people take them home and bring them back. Well, I had an inquiring mind, and I read lots of their propaganda. that propaganda in magazines and newspaper form was intended to win over the hearts and the minds of stupid Americans who were unable to recognize just how greatly, seriously bad the communist system had failed. But not everybody saw it, but I sure did. Anyway, the communism is not good for the so-called common people. It is not good for the so-called working people. Communism is not a good system. So I got to see that from my earlier school years, and then I had some other exposure to communism as I traveled to different countries in the world. I got to see firsthand what certain government systems did, and how there was social control, and how stifled and impoverished people were under the communist system. How the communist governments were really anti-West. They hated the West, but they loved communism officially, even though the people you would talk to recognized the impoverishments of the Western of their communist governments, and they recognized the abundance in Western countries. Well, it was a big experience to go to communist countries where I was repeatedly warned that the wolves have ears. When you think of the wolves having ears, what that meant is people were listening. And it might be by a listening device in the wall, or it might be a neighbor who was ready to inform on another neighbor, or it might mean that the phones were being listened to. All those things were standard practices in communist countries. I'm sure they still are. Well, I think back to those past experiences, and I think of the many people who today would say, well, they can listen all they want. I have nothing to hide. Well, they just don't get it, what it's like to really live in a system where you are so very listened to. And sure, I understand that people don't understand. They just don't recognize what it is like to live on a system where, for instance, you can no longer own a companion dog in North Korea, in the capital city, because the ruling authorities have said you cannot have a dog, but they can have your dog to eat. I don't know. Well, the impossible sometimes happens, and this has been true in history. Impossible things go on, and they're going on right now. If you just look at how many statues are being pulled down all across our United States. If you look at how many police cars have been set on fire. If you look at how many white people are told that they are not allowed to travel down a normal street, just a normal, regular main street, and they're saying, you can't come here, you're white. Oh, yes, there's things that are going on like that right now in some big cities where the windows are broken out and the white people are punched or injured in a car. This is America. It's not supposed to happen here, but it is. And both whites are doing it to whites and blacks are doing it to whites. It's just a tragedy that we're having such confrontations going on. Such a lack of freedom. Do you remember that saying, freedom is not free. So what are we to do anyway? I heard one man say, pray and then act appropriately. And I'm not sure what appropriately is. I'm sure it depends on the situation. But I do think it is important to be a part of a community. And, oh, that's also a way that is a form of protection, to become a part of a community, to have your neighbors be a neighborhood and be watchful of each other, to have a church be concerned with the brothers and sisters in that church. Do you remember the story of Joseph and Mary and Jesus? They were going to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. That's in Luke, the end of chapter 2. And on that return trip, Joseph and Mary could not find Jesus. And we just don't understand. How could it be that you could not find your child? Well, it turned out Jesus was teaching the elders in the temple. But what happened in that day where a child was not to be found for a couple of days? How could that be? Well, it was because people in that day traveled in a large group. The large numbers meant that they had safety in numbers. So we have historical evidence that says a group like this would travel from one city to another in those old ancient times, especially when they had offerings that they were bringing to the temple. Well, they had stuff, and bandits wanted to steal their stuff. So for protection, they would have traveled as a large group. Now, some people believe that group was well over 200 people. Well, whatever it was a large group, and that explains how Joseph and Mary could have been unsure where Jesus was. Well, I bring up this part of his story because it shows that people traveled in large groups for their safety from bandits. And it's just possible that at some time in the future, we may have to become a large group of neighbors again. Sure, a group of Christians again. Sure, a neighborhood watch. Sure, another group that is familiar with each other. Well, that is one form of what we could do as a community to keep ourselves safe, is to form a larger group. And I know this sounds odd in our world today, because in our world today, we have an element of safety that is provided to us by our police, our organizations. And there it is. So we feel free and safe to travel all over the place, to go where we want, to do what we want, when we want, whenever we want. So, yeah, it sounds a little bit odd to think of ever that we would have to become a group, a community, and be concerned about our security. Well, things change in life and in societies and in the world, and who knows what the future may bring. We just can wonder about it. There's things that are going on right now at churches where we thought we'd never have to have a security team, but many churches have them. And, well, what if church gatherings were outlawed at some point? What if public gatherings were outlawed? Oh, What if guns were outlawed? A lot of people think that's going to happen, and a lot of people don't. But these are all things that can happen. They're on the outside of wherever we can even bring our minds to. But all of these things are really possible to happen. What if we only had our numbers to defend ourselves? What if we only had sticks as our only defense? Well, only God knows our future. But we can look at examples in history. We can look at examples in the Bible and try to figure out how we want to live and how we want to understand the guiding principles of the Bible. Well, read the Bible. It's a good book. And may I suggest that we always pray before and after reading the Bible and asking God to have his understanding about reading the Bible. Oh, it's a good book. It's a good book. Well, God bless. May God bless our search for biblical truth. I was going to say something about the communist revolution in China, too. You know the word revolution? It means overthrowing the existing order and putting in a new system of government or a new societal system. And that was attempted a couple of times in China. Well, it was attempted and then it was done under the revolution by Chairman Mao. The communists won that struggle between 1948 and 1952. And that was one struggle. There was another struggle with the Chinese Cultural Revolution from 1966 to 1967. And 1966 to 1976. And 1976 was the year that Mao Zedong died. Well, anyway, communist revolution. To be successful, revolution has to eliminate the established order, and that means eliminate established people, families, and social groups. And the revolution in China was successful because so much that was ordinary and expected was completely destroyed, done away with. And society was completely reordered. Government was completely reordered. Now, there are people, of course, who have different opinions of one thing or another. The historians who agree with the current communist Chinese, CCP, the Communist China's Party, they say that the revolution that happened in China was a revolution that was powered from the bottom up. And that is to say, the workers and peasants were in charge. Oh, well, they can say that, but that's not what I see. Not at all. I guess that makes me a different kind of historian. But from what I see, the lower echelon of communism carried out the orders of the upper echelon in communism. And if they didn't, those lower echelon communist people were severely disciplined. That just happened all over. Many people were severely disciplined under communism. It was a real element of fear. And death. So many people died in the communist revolution. In a way that his revolution, Mao Zedong, or Chairman Mao if you prefer, there was just a lot of people who suffered one way or another as the old order was destroyed. All sorts of property was taken. It destroyed friendships and families and churches and social organizations and the established order of government at that day. And a new order was formed where every person must obey the new order, or they would be severely disciplined. And often that included death. And of course, that wasn't talked about initially by the communists. Nope, it was. Not at all. There was a communist method of infiltration where they promise everybody everything that they could possibly want. And then after the revolution, they deliver nothing. That has been an established pattern of communist takeover all over the world, where people are promised everything and then nothing is delivered. Nothing. Maybe you have heard from people who support communism that the theory of communism is good. It's a good theory. It's just never been carried out very well. Well, look at the different communist countries, and they all have some really serious problems. So, if communism is good in theory, but it has never been able to be carried out effectively, well, it's a flawed system. It doesn't work, it won't work, it can't work, because it never has in the past. If you look at communism all over the world, you would see that every communist country has some very, very serious problems. That's because communism in its core principles are very flawed. It just never can be carried out well. Never. That's my observation. That every communist system has severe shortages and very unhappy citizens. Even though the power elite, they might be well taken care of. They might be rich, they might be millionaires, but for the ordinary people, nope, it's not a good system. And I do think of all political systems, they have power struggles within them. And unfortunately, the communist system does not allow any opposition. So it doesn't change. It only gets more and more entrenched. And that reminds me of that China's revolution with Chairman Mao Zedong. He said, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Famous communist saying. So very many people were killed in China's communist revolution. So many were accused of being disloyal. And after they were accused, well, it was so often that there was a hearing. It was not official, but there were people in the Communist Party who carried out the hearings. And then, in just so very, very many cases, the people were sentenced to death. And often enough, it was one of their children who were encouraged to show their loyalty to the party, and they had to kill their parent who was not loyal to the party. Cut their throats. That happened in so many cases. It was really ugly. Communism, it's ugly. And the only thing important in the communist system is loyalty to the party. And that's why in the communist revolution in China, about 20 million people died. 20 million people. How did they die? Was it by famine? Was it by poisoning? Was it by having their throats cut? Or firing squad? All of it. all of it. It was a big, big thing. And it's kind of impossible to look at what the real, true numbers are in a communist country because they're not open. They don't tell anybody how things really are. Well, if you are interested in that sort of thing, you can look at the testimony of various people. One of them that I think is instructive is Reverend Leslie Mullen. He was a missionary at that time in China, and they put him through some really bad stuff. It was awful. Well, there's other testimonies. Let's see, Carl Lawrence is a more recent one. And if you want some inside testimony about the international communist indoctrination technique, then you can look up lectures given by the Soviet defector Yuri Bezmenov in the late 1880s. He was a key figure in promoting communism among non-communist countries. So he talks about how to subvert and demoralize a target country. He was active in India, and he made all his lectures that you can hear in America. And another one that is kind of eye-opening about the communist system is a book called Escape from Camp 14. And it was regarding a prison labor camp where a man escaped from and went to the West. It's a personal experience with communism. Oh, communism is not good. Oh, no, it has some real problems along with it. And I don't think they can be overcome, even though some people want to tell you they can. Communist countries are poor and impoverished, and people do not have rights and freedoms. That's a generality. But that is what I see. That is what I've experienced. And so that's what I will tell you about. As today, there are people who want to move forward with communist type of principles. See, there are people who want what we have, the prosperity that our country enjoys. There are people who want everything that we possess. We have our life and our property and even our joy to steal, and they take pleasure in taking that from us. Hard to believe, but that's what my experience tells me has happened in the past, and it can happen in the future also. And we certainly don't want to be violent. We don't want to oppose things with violence. We want to be certain, though, to keep the freedoms and the values that we have. Well, and the stuff that we have. I mean, physical possessions, yes. All these things we want to hold on to. And if we let these principles go, they're pretty much gone. And I don't know how we could get them back. It would be a real struggle. So I hope that you want to keep our freedom and our rights and our stuff that we enjoy right now. It's just sensible to keep what we have, whatever it is. Our liberty and our belongings, yeah. And my answer is to stand strong as a Christian and as a Christian community. And Christian communities love our Christian neighbors and our non-Christian neighbors also. But it's done a little differently with the non-Christians. So let us have responsible compassion for others. And we do have to be prepared to explain our faith in Jesus Christ to others in a way that they can understand how wonderful Christianity is. That's a part of what we do. We're to share the good news of the gospel. And let us be guided primarily by the Holy Bible. And When we read that book, we can recognize the truth that there is in our Holy Bible. And it's always a good idea to pray for understanding as you read or before and after you read the Bible. You know, I think about what I've talked about today, and I'm thinking about totalitarianism, and that's what the book 1984 was about. Its author, George Orwell, warned against a system of government that is centralized and dictatorial. A system that requires complete subservience to the state or to the leader. And that is what I call communism. It's reflected in that book, 1984, which is about totalitarianism. It's so clear to me that that is the opposite of what God wants for us. He wants us to have liberty and to be free and with our free will so that we can freely align ourselves with God, Jesus, who loves us. He loves us more than we can imagine. And then when we receive his love, we can understand love and we will want to give it back. So we want to express the good news of the gospel and oppose totalitarianism as best we know how. A lot of people like that book, 1984, because they see it coming true before our eyes as humans are degraded and the human spirit is put down by totalitarianism. And some people, like me, equate that with communism. So we have to use our sensibility, everything we have, our vote, our dollars to support this or that. We have to use what we have to support the free system that we have. And that's what I think we do as we stay strong in the Lord and in his holy word, the Bible. All right, so you can listen to this broadcast or any other broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. It's all lowercase and no spaces. And also you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamp, self-addressed envelope. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live my life inside your heart.